have highs in the 70s and in the mid-70s with sunny skies in the north. This is NHPR.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. It's not unusual for the New Hampshire legislature to set up study committees to look closer at particular issues once the deadline pressure of the session is over. But one New Hampshire committee just signed into law by Governor Maggie Hassan is getting some attention. It's to examine whether New Hampshire should join the growing number of states offering early voting. While some states have recently tightened up their voter ID requirements, others have tried to make it more convenient to vote. These include expanded early voting, either in person or by mail, and easier access to absentee balloting. More than 30 states have adopted these or other similar changes. But in New Hampshire, the new study committee may end up doing just that, studying these reforms but not adopting them. There are several reasons why. For one, we don't really have a turnout problem, with 68% of eligible voters casting ballots last fall. Also, the long lines and other polling place troubles seen in other states haven't been major issues here. And then there's our Secretary of State, Bill Gardner, who's made it clear he's not wild about early voting, saying it might even depress turnout. Finally, the governor herself would need to be convinced, and yesterday she vetoed a bill that would have changed the timing of absentee ballot counting. Today in The Exchange, we explore the possibilities of expanded voting in New Hampshire, and let's hear from you. Would you like to see some form of early voting or easier absentee balloting? Did you live in a state earlier that had such procedures? How did they work? And do you have some concerns about New Hampshire going this route? Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us a short email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. We have two guests for the hour. With me in studio is Dave Scanlon, New Hampshire's Deputy Secretary of State. The office handles state and federal elections in New Hampshire. And Dave Scanlon, thank you for being here. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, good morning, Laura.
Joining us on the phone from Oregon is Paul Gronke, Professor of Political Science at Reed College, Director of the Early Voting Information Center based in Portland, Oregon. And Paul Gronke, thank you for getting up early there on the West Coast and for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Laura.
Well, and Paul, just give us a broad sense of what's going on around the country in terms of these easier access to voting laws.
Well, absolutely, Laura. One thing I want the listeners to understand is I don't advocate for early voting. It's a scholarly area that I do research on. So what I really try to do is help states like New Hampshire, other states, policymakers try to figure out what the best direction is if they are going to be reforming their ballot procedures. So what's going on? Well, one mild correction, being a professor, of course, I have to do one mild correction here. It's actually early voting was early voting, whether it be no excuse absentee. So when you're out of state or unavailable, cannot get to the ballot box, and that's been around really for since the Civil War. So no excuse absentee voting and early in-person voting, where a citizen can go to a county office or to a township, a municipality, cast a vote like on election day, but prior. That has been increasing fairly steadily since the mid-80s, but actually has slowed down. There's not been many changes since 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So after the 2000 election and the problems in Florida in particular, many states moved toward these convenience voting methods, if you were, but it slowed down in 10. So that increase you talked at the start of the hour was correct until a couple years ago, and now we've started kind of a new debate about access to the ballot, as you referred to, voter ID, new registration procedures. Some states in the Northeast are considering early voting, along with New Hampshire, New York, Pennsylvania, have been debating these methods.
Let's talk a little bit more about these methods and what they involve, if we could, Paul. And then I definitely want to get you in too, Dave, on this. First of all, no excuse absentee balloting. Now, it sounds like tougher absentee balloting, but what it means is you don't have to explain yourself. Is that right?
Correct. So I won't go too in-depth into the history, but absentee balloting was really created because the two political parties, Abraham Lincoln and the Democrats and Republicans, were competing for the votes of the soldiers who were away from the states during the Civil War. And as a way to get these soldiers to vote, they created this thing called absentee voting. It was primarily for members of the military. The next advance, not surprisingly, was during World War II. And it's been systematized over time to include, like, students away from college, people in nursing homes, people traveling abroad. What happened in 1978 is the state of California decided to make this no excuse. So you didn't need an excuse like being in the military, being away from home at school, something like that. And a number of states began to adopt those procedures, primarily in the West and kind of sweeping across. So it's what a lot of your listeners will understand to be voting by mail. It's an absentee ballot, but you don't need to provide any excuse to the local official of the state as a reason why you can't show up on election day.
Okay, so how does that work in New Hampshire, Dave Scanlon? If I want to vote absentee because I work in Boston, for example, or for whatever reason, how does that work? How much do I have to explain myself?
So in New Hampshire, the election actually takes place on election day. And there is an opportunity for voters to obtain absentee ballots, but there are four specific reasons that are necessary, one of those four, for them to obtain a ballot. One is being out of town and unable to make it to the polls. Second is a physical infirmity or disability that prevents a voter from getting to the polls. Third is a religious observance. And fourth is if a voter is working at their job during the entire time that the polls are open, then they also qualify for an absentee ballot.
So it sounds like it's pretty easy to get an absentee ballot.
It's pretty easy to get one. Again, you have to sign an affidavit saying that one of those four reasons apply. And once you do that, you can obtain your absentee ballot.
How could that be opened up further, or do you think that that's open enough, Dave?
Our belief is that is open enough at this point. And we recognize that early voting is a national issue, that the majority of states have already moved in that direction. We are focused on what is good and best for New Hampshire, and we don't try and tell other states how they should conduct their elections. New Hampshire is in many ways unique around the country. Our government and our election process dates back to colonial times. We are a state that is exempt from the National Voter Registration Act, and the reason for that is because we have same-day voter registration.
You can go to the polls on election day and sign up.
That's right.
And vote right then and there.
That's correct. And we have historically high turnouts. The voting age population turns out in high percentages for elections, and so we really don't have a turnout problem.
Well, and one more question about absentee voting, and then I want to get Paul Gronke in again. Has there ever been a push, Dave, to, you know, hey, you guys should be happy that I'm voting. Why are you even making me go through the process of providing an excuse for you? The idea that this should just be open. If I say I can't come, okay, I can't come. No questions asked. Thank you very much for voting.
Well, I mean, a concern that we have is with absentee balloting, there are also issues with voter fraud. And you know, there may be, it's kind of hard to talk about it because there isn't actually a plan on how early absentee or no excuse absentee voting would work. But with absentee voting, there are a lot of moving parts. There is the application for an absentee ballot. There's the process of where the town clerk accepts those applications, distributes the ballots. It's receiving the ballots back, keeping track of them up until election day. And right now there's a pretty good hold on who's requesting those absentee ballots and how they're being handled.
Do absentee ballots, Paul, provide more opportunity for voter fraud? What do you think?
Well, it's not what I think. It's what we know. The answer is yes. Of the cases of ballot fraud that are documented, the majority of them, perhaps even the vast majority, it's hard to get a handle on voting fraud, quite frankly, are associated with absentee ballots. But let me be clear, the number of cases of documented voting fraud is minuscule. So while there are reasonable, and I think there are reasonable concerns over the integrity of the polling place and of the ballot box everywhere in the country, let's not overstate the problem here. We're talking about a tiny, tiny amount of cases, and in most cases for absentee, it's a situation where either in a nursing home or, say, you have itinerant workers staying in a farming community, something like that, someone will request a batch of absentee ballots, never deliver them to the voters, and then send them back. So that is, frankly, a concern. It's a concern that 32 states and D.C. have decided does not raise to the level that they've decided that they want to give more access to the ballot box by those voters who are unable to make it to the polling place on election day.
Wow, so 32 states plus D.C. have this, again, what you call no-excuse absentee balloting. It sounds tougher, but in fact, like you said, it means you don't have to provide, you know, one of a specific number of excuses. That's a lot of jurisdictions, Paul.
It is. I mean, it's most of the largest states in the country. I mean, if you look at, there's an organization called the National Conference of State Legislatures. It serves as kind of a membership group that members of state legislatures are generally part of. It helps collect information on state laws and state procedures. It isn't as if other states are telling states what to do, but rather they're sharing information about best practices. What works here might work somewhere else. I mean, New Hampshire is not completely unique. It does share some characteristics with other states. It can show other states things, and it might learn from other states. So in this case, the NCSL has a wonderful page where they just kind of map out where the states provide different election laws and procedures. And I've been asked this question many times. One of your listeners may ask it again this hour, but if you do look at the map, it's fascinating that most of the states with what you might say more relaxed voting procedures, that is early in person or no excuse absentee, all of the West provides these options. About half of the southern states do. Midwest, it's growing, but where you really do have very few states that provide either early in person voting or no excuse absentee is in the Northeast. If you just limit it to New England, you only have Maine and Vermont that provide that. If you expand down, I don't know how much New England is willing to accept New Jersey in their membership group.
No.
I expect not. So, but if you do go down to Pennsylvania, New Jersey, you kind of draw the curve there. You add in New Jersey. But neither New York, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, none of these states provide either early in person or no excuse absentee. So in that respect, New Hampshire is very much similar to its sister states. And it might be interesting, and Dave probably is familiar, that Maine and Vermont provide no excuse absentee. I don't frankly know how well it's gone there or not. I think it's fairly recently that they've adopted these techniques.
All right. Well, and we've definitely got listeners in those states as well as here in New Hampshire. And we'll start taking your thoughts and comments after a very short break. Right now, though, we're going to check in super quick with our summer car raffle.
Thank you, Laura. And hearing Laura Kanoy, the Exchange, are one of the reasons that you value New Hampshire Public Radio. So help keep shows like this on possibilities of expanding voting coming your way by supporting New Hampshire Public Radio now during our summer car raffle. Pick up a few tickets online at nhpr.org or call 1-888-805-6477. I'm Keith Shields, executive producer of this program you're listening to, along with word of mouth host Virginia Prescott.
And we're pulling the name of our early bird winner this weekend. If it is your name, you walk off with $2,000 in Gast gift cards. Meanwhile, your name goes back in the hat for the car, the bike, and the kayak that we're giving away next week. So even if you don't win the Gast cards, you'll still be in it to win the car, the bike, and the kayak. Why not call us now? We do know that that gives you two chances of winning our grand prize. But of course, who would not like to enjoy $2,000 in free gas over this summer? And it can last you well into the rest of the year. Call now to get your tickets. They're $50 a piece. You can get three for $100. 1-888-805-6477 or buy your tickets online at nhpr.org and get a look at all of the terrific prizes that we're giving away.
And we make it so easy for you to get your raffle tickets. All we need is a little contact information, like your credit card and how many tickets you want to buy. The 2 minutes you take right now are important because the money you give helps keep New Hampshire Public Radio strong. It helps keep the exchange strong and word of mouth strong and available to us all. Plus, it puts your name in the hat to win some prizes. So call right now. Purchase your raffle tickets at 1-888-805-6477 or online nhpr.org.
Now consider how long and how far you could go on $2,000 worth of free gas. The New Hampshire Motor Speedway is 1.058 miles around. A few weeks ago, Brian Vickers won the 300-lap race at the track. Now, if he'd had the NHPR Early Bird Prize in his pocket, $2,000 worth of gas gift cards donated by Irving Oil, he could have gone around the track more than 13,000 times without spending a dime on gas. And you know those cars use a lot of gas. Take your chance on racing around New Hampshire, New England, wherever you want to go this summer. You can call us at 1-888-805-6477 or buy your tickets online at nhpr.org, but buy them quickly. We only have until Saturday.
And it's so important because you're supporting New Hampshire Public Radio and all the programs. You know, in a world of headlines affected by bottom lines, we're glad that we remain non-commercial and dependent on our listeners, on you as the most important source of income. And during the car raffle, we're just making it a little more fun to support the programming with our annual car raffle. The actual car we're raffling away next week, but this weekend we'll put your name in the hat and the winner will win an early bird prize of $2,000 worth of gas cards donated by Irving Oil. And when you call in for the special prize by noontime on Saturday, we'll also put you in to win the possibility of a car. So it's two raffles for the price of one, $50 for one ticket or three tickets for $100. 1-888-805-6477.
And we're making it even more economical for you to take your chances at winning any of these terrific prizes. $50 for one chance, but three chances for $100. That's something new this year. So we know that there are people who buy tickets for their employees. Well, consider this. Last year, 10 tickets would have cost you $500. This year, 10 tickets gets you 15 chances at these terrific prizes, giving you that much more opportunity or odds of winning. Call us at 1-888-805-6477. Make a donation online at nhpr.org.
The grand prize of our summer raffle this year is a car, and the winner will get to choose any new car from any of the Grapponi 6 dealerships. Which one would you choose? A Toyota, a Scion? It's up to you. 1-888-805-6477 is the number to call to get your tickets, or you can get them online on our website, which is nhpr.org. And thank you so, so very much.
This is NHPR 924. Good morning. Partly sunny for most of the state today. Clouding up, chance of rain in southern areas of the state and along the seacoast. Cooler. Highs today, low to mid-70s. Cloudy, chance of rain across the state tonight. Low temperatures in the 50s. It'll be cloudy, a chance of rain tomorrow. Highs low to mid-70s. Partly to mostly sunny, warmer for Saturday. Highs low to mid-80s. And partly sunny Sunday, chance of showers and thunderstorms. High temperatures, lower 80s. Support for NHPR comes from UR members, and support also comes to us from UNH Continuing Education, with fall registration currently open and classes beginning August 26. More information online at learn.unh.edu. And New Hampshire Coffee Company, providing businesses freshly filtered water with the Ion water cooler and single-serving, environmentally friendly coffee pods. nhcoffee.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at a new study committee that's going to be examining whether New Hampshire should adopt some of the procedures that they have in many other states to expand voting, make it a little more convenient to vote. These include something called no excuses, absentee ballots, and early voting in person or by mail. Join us with your questions and comments, 1-800-892-6477. Would you like to see some form of early voting in New Hampshire or easier absentee balloting? Or do you have concerns about our state going this route? Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. The email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. We have two guests. Dave Scanlon is here, New Hampshire's Deputy Secretary of State. And joining us from Portland, Oregon, Paul Gronke, Professor of Political Science at Reed College and Director of the Early Voting Information Center based in Portland, Oregon. One more time, that number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Gentlemen, before the break, we talked a lot about whether New Hampshire should go or what it should think about in terms of this no excuses absentee balloting. Paul, I wanted to ask you about the other aspect of this, though. Early voting, where, you know, up to 2 weeks before Election Day, you can actually go into the clerk's office and vote. How does that work and how many states are doing that?
Sure. So that the way I usually describe early in-person voting is it's just like precinct place voting generally, except you don't go to a precinct. You can go early to generally to a county office. Almost always you vote on the same machine or technology, depending on what is being used in the state, either a optical scan ballot that you fill out, like a Scantron, and you push it into a machine, or in states that use electronic voting machines, you'll go vote on the same kind of machine. There's no excuse required. Again, you go in, you check in you check to make sure you're on the registration rolls, and then there'll generally be either a machine right there or a small booth maintained in a little room off on the side, and you'll kind of go through the exact same procedure. The number of states that currently allow early in-person voting is 27 states plus the District of Columbia. And what might be interesting for the listeners in terms of the variation, and Dave, I know, knows a lot of this, they're going, you know, Secretary of States actually have their own professional association called the National Association of Secretary of States, where they talk about the way they do things in their states and other states. So in states like Texas, actually, they maintain satellite locations at mini malls. In Nevada, you could vote at the casino. So right after you play blackjack or poker, you can go over and vote. I say that only jokingly. The reason they actually have that at casinos is because they have a lot of the characteristics you'd want in a place where a lot of people will be showing up, parking, access to roads. They have large rooms but that's always a good funny story, is that you could vote in the casinos. And maybe voting in politics is just like voting in a casino.
It's a gamble.
There's my joke.
Right. So here's the question. What's the ideal time frame, Paul, in your opinion, for early voting? Is it a month before the election? Is it 2 weeks? Is it a week? I mean, how early is early?
Laura, the ideal, I'm an academic. Are you giving me a magic wand? And Dave has no limits on his budget. So I'll answer in two ways. One is I'll say what I generally recommend when a state or jurisdiction asks me, and based on what appears to be best practices that are developing, and then ideal. What I generally recommend will be anywhere between 10 to 15 days. The reason I recommend that is that that is enough to cover the two weekends. So if you go 10 days back and you count backwards, you'll notice that it goes to the Friday before Election Day. And that way you get those two weekends, because when you look at states that have early in-person voting, or for that matter, no excuse absentee, the majority of voters actually will not wait. Will wait to cast their ballot until the last 7 days. There's usually a surge right at the opening. And then certain subgroups of the population, people who work long hours, or, you know, women with children at home, you'll see that they will vote on the weekend. So I think there's evidence that there's some subgroups of voters that like to vote on the weekends. The ideal world, look, the ideal world, we wouldn't have elections tied to the harvest calendar. You know, we wouldn't have elections on the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November, when the weather's lousy in some parts of the country, like New Hampshire. But we have these historical legacies. So in the ideal world, well, I'd love to have Election Day as a holiday. I would like to have 3 or 4 days of, you know, civic volunteerism and participation, and elections be this wonderful civic discussion that we have, very much like you know, Dave refers to and the Secretary of State Gardner has referred to for voting in elections in New Hampshire. I'd love to have that. The problem is I can't wave my magic wand. So in some ways I'm dealing with the world that's presented to me, which is people struggling with long commutes, people in big cities, people who cannot make it or it's very inconvenient for them to make it in the limited number of hours on a Tuesday. And so given that world, I generally will say 10 to 15 days.
Yeah, and I have another question or two about early voting, but I want to get you in on this too, Dave Scanlon. Secretary of State Bill Gardner has said, I'm worried about early voting, that it would diminish turnout, it would take away the specialness of Election Day. What's the thinking there?
So the voting process in New Hampshire is intimate, and it's intimate between the voter and the local election officials in the town. Every voter that gets registered has to register to vote before the supervisors of the checklist or submit their application to the town clerk. In most other states in the country that have to comply with the motor voter law, they can register to vote through various state agencies, whether it's motor vehicles or the Health and Human Service Agency, Department of Education. There are outside groups that conduct voter registration drives, and I'm sure everybody's heard of groups like ACORN and other states, where they can go out, collect voter registrations, turn them in, and those are valid registrations. That doesn't happen in New Hampshire. The voter has to come into contact with their local registration official to register to vote. And then the voting process is conducted at the local level. It's our elected local election officials that really conduct the elections.
At the town level. Counties aren't that right. Strong here.
So in most states, most of the western states where county election organizations actually run the elections, it might be easy to put up a super voting center where everybody that lives in the county, regardless of where your town lines are, can show up at that location, cast their ballot, it will get applied to the appropriate precinct, and then they can go on their way. That really could not happen in New Hampshire without significant and substantial changes to our election laws and just the way we've historically conducted elections in the state.
You know, Secretary Gardner has said that, look, we don't have a turnout problem. 68% of eligible voters voted in the 2012 elections. But I do wonder, people in New Hampshire, especially in the southern tier, do have these long commutes, Dave Scanlon, and it isn't very convenient for them to do it on that particular Tuesday. Could early voting increase our wonderful turnout numbers even more?
I think we would be hard-pressed to increase our voting numbers in a significant way. The people in the state are accustomed to elections. They're engaged. We have elections going almost all the time, whether they're local, you know, right up through state and federal and our presidential primary. And the voters in New Hampshire accept that. It was interesting, the National Association of Secretaries of State that was mentioned earlier by Professor Gronke had a symposium a couple of months ago, actually in Las Vegas, and the secretaries gathered there and they discussed the issues that we're talking about today. And there were several states that noted that their numbers did increase by having early voting, but many, if not most of the participants pointed out that it was really hard to tell whether the early voting actually increased their numbers.
Or was it the same people just voting early?
What it did was it changed the voting patterns. And so there were more people that were voting, taking advantage of the early voting, and reducing the numbers that turned out on Election Day. But they also brought out one other very interesting fact in terms of lines, where New Hampshire does have lines in really important elections that generate turnout. But those lines have been manageable, especially when you compare to other states that claim they have waits as much as 7 hours to vote. And they thought that what might be more important in reducing lines are looking at the length of the ballot and the complexity of the ballot, poor administrative planning, lack of polling place resources, human error, and things like that actually may have a bigger impact on how lines are generated as opposed to whether people can have a more convenient way of voting.
Paul, I want to get you in on that, but we've also got some listeners who want to jump into our conversation. So let's go to them. And again, I want to remind you the number is 1-800-892-6477. Evan's waiting in Manchester. Hi, Evan. Thanks for hanging on. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks.
Go ahead, Evan.
So I had a question about voter fraud. Because the argument that I often hear as to why not making voting easier is because it increases the odds of voter fraud. And I was just curious if that's actually a problem and why it's a problem, if there are any stats that show that it has been a problem in the past, because it seems like a fairly recent, quote, problem to show up, you know?
Okay. Evan, thanks a lot for calling in. Paul, to you first, please.
Sure. So for Evan and other listeners, if they're interested in voting fraud, the people to look at, there's a well-known writer for the Wall Street Journal. His name is John Fund, and he writes a lot about voting fraud. He's quite critical of absentee voting in particular, John believes that voting fraud is a serious problem. On the other side of the ledger, a woman named Lorraine Minniti has written about the tiny frequency of voting fraud. So the question is, there's a small number of cases of voting fraud, minuscule, but there are those who I think reasonably say any level of voting fraud is too much. And the flip side is people like Minniti who say that voter access is what's most important, and the amount of voter fraud is tiny. So I think it's a cost-benefit choice that you have to make. It is, as I said a while ago, what voting fraud there is generally associated with absentee voting. I think that's really undeniable, and any state that goes to no excuse, I think, needs to face that. Early in-person voting, there's no voting fraud associated with early in-person. You still have to show up. You have to look at a county official, interact with a governmental official. They see you. So it is really a no-excuse absentee voting or absentee voting issue.
Yeah. Can you talk about this real quickly, too, Dave? I remember during the voter ID debate earlier this session and last session, some people saying it's not a problem in New Hampshire, some people saying even the tiniest amount of fraud is a problem. What's your take on how much fraud we actually see here in the Granite State?
So specific to New Hampshire, there were very few instances of actual voter fraud. However, there are perceptions out there that it does take place, and perceptions are very important because ultimately they are an indicator of faith that that people have in the election process in their particular state. So it's something that we need to be concerned about. Obviously, we want to have a system in place that is as foolproof as is reasonably possible. Getting it 100% is probably impractical, but we want to have a system that works, that people believe in, and that when the outcome of the election is determined, people feel like, yes, that was the winner, and we move on.
All right. Well, we will talk more after a short break. Evan, thanks a lot for that call. We'll take more of your questions and comments in just a few minutes. We're going to check in real quick now with our summer car raffle.
Thank you, Laura. Hearing conversations on New Hampshire's only statewide call-in program, The Exchange, that's just one of the reasons that you support New Hampshire Public Radio. Well, we're hoping that you'll support us now during our summer car raffle. You can pick up a few tickets online at nhpr.org or call 1-888-805-6477. I'm Virginia Prescott, and I'm here with The Exchange senior executive producer, Keith Shields.
Yep, and we're giving away $2,000 worth of gas gift cards. That's our early bird prize. So you need to be in that by Saturday at noon, and it's donated by Irving Oil. The winner actually receives several smaller denomination cards. So if you win, it's up to you what you do with them. You can give them to your kids so they visit more often. You can give it to one of your parents so they come and visit the grandkids more often. Or you can give it to a friend so they can finally stop talking about that epic road trip and go already. Or you can just hold them on to yourself. You can give them as Christmas gifts as well. It's up to you. But the only way you can start thinking about that is if you get in. And the way to get in is supporting New Hampshire Public Radio by purchasing these raffle tickets at 1-888-805-6477, or you can do it on our safe and secure website, nhpr.org.
Our summer car raffle is a lot of fun, and it's a great chance to win, but it's also an essential part of our funding model. public radio became the best news source because it has the best source of funding, which is you. It is you that put the best correspondents in the field and the most inquisitive people in the news anchor's chair. And you put the most demanding people behind the editor's desk. All when you buy NHPR car raffle tickets. That's what your support does. And it gives you a great chance at winning some prizes. Call us at 1-888-805-6477. Raffle tickets are $50 a piece or three for $100. You can also purchase them online at nhpr.org.
People like Barbara Bach, Virginia Sewell, Suzanne and Roger DeRosiers, and Drew Carter, you know, they were people who have won in the past. They're just regular listeners. They're just like you and me. They put their pant legs on one at a time, and they really were just supporting the station. That's all they really wanted to do when they called in previous years to support New Hampshire Public Radio and buy raffle tickets, and then they won. I've even heard things about they even forgot that they had done it. They got a phone call, and lo and behold, they won. So that could be you. It's as much could be you as it could be any other listener who supports New Hampshire Public Radio. That's so wonderful about this. So give us a call right now. Buy your tickets. One for $50, three for $100 at 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
Yeah, that's something that we've heard from a lot of previous winners. One, that they didn't win the first time, but they kept coming back and buying tickets year after year after year until they finally did win because they wanted to support commercial-free, listener-supported New Hampshire Public Radio. That means we are here because you want us here. So the Summer Car Raffle is really just a reminder to do your part, support the service you rely on, plus it gets you in the running for some very useful prizes besides New Hampshire Public Radio. 1-888-805-6477 is the way to buy your tickets on the phone, or you could do it online at nhpr.org.
Can we make it really easy for you? All you'd have to do is give the call at 1-888-805-6477, or you can go on that safe and secure website, nhpr.org. It only takes about 2 minutes of your time, and that benefit for you is all year long in the form of programs like The Exchange, and like our new Friday New Hampshire News Roundup that we started because you wanted it. 1-888-805-6477 supports The Exchange. It supports word of mouth. It supports all the local broadcasts and news that you hear. You can also support us online at nhpr.org.
Now, we're talking about a lot of prizes here. Of course, it's the early bird prize now, the gas gift cards. If you don't win it, your name goes back in the hat to win any car from Grapponi's Automotive Group's 6 dealerships. You'll also have a chance to win a bike, a roof rack system, or a kayak. Now, if you want to take a look at all these items that we're offering, go online to nhpr.org. That's a terrific way to give, to buy your tickets. You can also, of course, call us at 1-888-805-6477 for a shot at $2,000 worth of gas at Irving Oil. Again, you can also get your tickets online at nhpr.org.
Every day on The Exchange, we hope that you call in to express your opinions, to give your thoughts, to ask your questions. Now we're asking you to call in for a different reason, to support these programs. And we're making it fun for you by purchasing these raffle tickets. You could possibly win these gas gift cards. 1-888-805-6477.
This is NHPR 944. Good morning. Partly sunny for most of the state for today. Clouding up, chance of rain in southern New Hampshire and then along the seacoast. Cooler with highs today, low to mid-70s. Cloudy tonight, chance of rain across the state, lows in the 50s. It'll be a cloudy day, chance of rain tomorrow. Highs low to mid-70s. Partly to mostly sunny, warmer Saturday. Highs low to mid-80s. And partly sunny Sunday, chance of showers and thunderstorms. High temperatures in the lower 80s. Support for NHPR comes from UR members, and support also comes to us from RM Davis Incorporated, celebrating 35 years of providing investment counsel, wealth management, and trust services with offices in Portland and Portsmouth, online at rmdavis.com. And LaValle and Middleton Building Supply, providing hardwood flooring from Somerset and Lausanne, tile from Sheldon, slate, and carpet with professional installation available. LaValle's.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at whether New Hampshire should join the many states who offer some form of early voting, either in-person or easier access to absentee ballots. There's a new study committee that is going to be looking at these issues. We've been talking about how they might work or not work in New Hampshire and looking at the experience of other states. Let's hear from you, 1-800-892-6477. Would you like to see New Hampshire adopt some form of early voting, easier access to absentee ballots? Do you have concerns about New Hampshire taking this approach? Let's hear from you. 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. And Paul Gronke, Dave Scanlon, let's go right back to our listeners. Mark's joining us from Portsmouth. Hi, Mark. You're on the air. Go ahead. Mark, are you with us?
I know that it's going to sound like I'm wearing a tinfoil hat.
We can't see you, Mark, so it's okay.
When it comes to voter fraud, I mean, if it's done efficiently, in other words, the perfect crime, you're never going to know. So to say that it's low or minuscule, you just don't know. Is there a problem? Yeah. But how big, we don't know. And that's why it creates the perception.
So keep the system the way it is because of that? Is that what you're saying, Mark?
Well, yeah, and I think we need to somehow make it more difficult, but, you know, photo ID and all that, but you can't say that it's low or it's minuscule. You don't know.
Yeah, right. And Mark, I'm glad he called for a couple of reasons. One is I wanted to get Paul's thoughts on the voter fraud issue. We talked about it a little bit before the break. But also, Dave Scanlon, real quickly, New Hampshire does have a new voter ID law just signed, I believe, yesterday by the governor.
That's true. The voter ID law makes a I should say that the legislation that passed this year makes some changes to the voter ID law that passed 2 years ago. It changes the types of ID that are acceptable at the polling place, probably not in a way that most voters are going to notice at the polls. It does put additional requirements on student IDs and in terms of which schools will be acceptable, they are pretty much limited to the state of New Hampshire. So if you have a student who lives in Salem, New Hampshire, and they're going to the University of Maryland, they come back to vote, that University of Maryland ID will not be an acceptable form of ID. However, any ID that's issued by the university system, UNH, Keene State, Plymouth State, any community college in the state will be acceptable.
Okay, and so I wanted to just ask you about that because, A, it just got signed, and, B, Mark wanted to know about it. But the broader issue, what do you think, Paul Gronke? You know, voter fraud, and he's saying we have no way of knowing.
Look, a lot of people have looked really hard at this for the last 6 or 8 years and have found no evidence. I mean, they've looked really, really hard. So to say somehow the people who are committing fraud are so skilled that no one can ever find it, I just don't agree. The evidence just doesn't show. Photo ID is an option. Well, look, photo ID only addresses one particular form of fraud, which is in-person impersonation at the polls. And that's the one we have almost zero evidence of. So if you're really concerned about voter fraud, then you should be attacking absentee balloting. The question is, why is photo ID being put in place, which only addresses impersonation at the polls, which there's no evidence that it happens? I understand this is a perception out there. If you want to put in place photo ID, okay. Make the photo ID easily available for no cost to everyone in your state. There's lots of people advocating for photo ID out there, but they're not making it free for people to get. And the same people that are advocating for photo ID are not worried about backing away absentee voting. Look, early in-person voting has no problems with fraud. So these things just don't line up to me. And that's my concern. It's the same groups that are advocating for photo ID are not worried about no-excuse absentee voting. I realize this is not a case in New Hampshire, and I absolutely endorse everything that Dave said before about the characteristics of New Hampshire, about the localized voting you conduct in municipalities. New Hampshire does rank in the top third of voter turnout. I actually think it's a little regrettable that the committee's charge through the New Hampshire state legislature is kind of narrowly focused on turnout. If New Hampshire were to think about some of these voting techniques, it's not just turnout. There are other reasons. If there's procedural problems, this is why Florida and Georgia did it. It wasn't turnout. It's because they have massive, I mean, in Florida, people are waiting 8 to 10 hours in line.
Wow, that's crazy, huh?
Done. Yeah, except New Hampshire doesn't have these problems. There are states with municipalities that have early voting that New Hampshire could look to, like Vermont, like Wisconsin. But Dave is absolutely right, the list of things that he provided about New Hampshire that make it really a very different state. But I really think fraud is just an unrelated issue. But, you know, that's this. It's become a political football.
Well, and I appreciate the call. And I did want to ask you another question about early voting that I've always wondered, Paul, since we don't have it here. Is there such a thing as voters' remorse where, you know, I voted 15 days before the election and then all of a sudden, you know, my candidate turns out to have engaged in some funny business and darn it, it's too late. I already voted for the guy or gal.
Right. So there actually is. Now, I'm trying to remember. I should know this because I'm the expert, and Dave may know this. There actually are one or two states that allow you to recast your ballot, which I consider bizarre.
Really?
In terms of voter, and they count the last ballot, but now we're really going down an oddball road. So the people, most voters, as I said, who do vote early will do it in the last week. Those voters that show up on the first day of early voting tend to be very committed voters. We have lots of evidence that people that vote early have made their minds up. On the other hand, the best example I have is in the California, which has lots of no-excuse absentee voting. It'll be 40 or 50% of the ballots have come in prior to Election Day. So in the well-known election where Arnold Schwarzenegger was first elected governor, there were charges that came out about Schwarzenegger in the L.A. Times. They were released a Sunday before Election Day. Now, more than 3 million ballots had been cast prior to those charges coming out. We don't know whether that information would have changed how those people would have cast their ballots, but it is factually true that 3 million ballots had already come in. What it does is it moves the timeline back. So it does mean that if you've got charges that you want to level against your opponent, you've got to put them out earlier. Some actually point to that as an advantage. You can't drop that last-minute charge 5 p.m. on Monday to try to hit. So, but
are you saying they do that?
So the whole thing about campaigning, though, and that's a really interesting question that, frankly, has not been very well examined. And so we have lots of stories out there, like my Schwarzenegger story, but we don't really know. I do think, and Dave and the Secretary Gardner does point to this, that there's a way that Election Day focuses everything. It kind of is a focusing event. Everybody thinks about Election Day. You know, the media, the voters, vote mobilization groups, they all kind of focus in. And early voting does break that up. And I do think that you want to think about that. It's not the charge for this committee. But there is that broader question that Secretary Gardner does raise about how does this change that focusing event. I wish I had a good answer for you on that, but I don't.
Well, and let's take another call. And this is Bob in Wilshire, Vermont. Hi, Bob. You're on the air. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, no problem. Thanks. Good show. I'm wondering, you know, there's some talk about tax reform coming that I hear. And I'm wondering if anyone's looked at trying to connect you know, either moving the day we file taxes or moving the day we vote to coincide with, so that both coincide the same day, and whether that might improve voter turnout and debate.
So put voting day on tax day? Is that what you're suggesting, Bob?
Or vice versa. I don't know why, you know, voting day ended up what day it is. I suppose at tax day there's some sort of physical reason for it, but My point is to try and, you know, have the day we pay our taxes be the day we vote for our representatives to, you know, I think we'd be a lot more, I think there'd be a lot more debate and a lot more interest.
Tying it all together into one big day, I don't know if you want to comment on his specific proposal, Dave, or more just broadly this idea that Election Day is a special day in and of itself.
Yeah, I'm all for tax reform. I'm just not sure that tying it to the day of the election
might put people in a bad mood. They wouldn't come out and vote.
And maybe that's the point.
The whole special idea, though, of that Election Day, and Paul talked about this before.
Well,
it's special.
We do know
it focuses
that,
you.
I mean, the history of Election Day, where it is now, we do know where that came from. That is so the harvest could be completed, so people could travel on, you know, horse and carriage through from rural areas make it to the county seat, and that's why it's on Tuesday. There is something called the Why Tuesday movement, Dave may be familiar with, which is trying to advocate for maybe reconsidering that date. I actually think that would be a good thing.
Why Tuesday? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's called the Why Tuesday movement. There are, so for example, in Georgia, they have they allow you to vote early at the same time you pay your utility bills. It's a very popular place to do it. But, you know, this is now, I think Dave would agree, this is kind of waving the magic wand. I don't think we're going to change that, Dave. I don't think we're going to change the day from Tuesday, I think.
I would agree with that, yep.
So ingrained. So what are your hopes, Dave Scanlon, for this study committee looking at some of these issues?
Well, it is always healthy and good to review statutes, whether they're elections or anything else. New Hampshire does have a fairly thick book that full of election laws that some of them are out of date, others could be improved.
So it's a broad scope that this committee
has. It is a broad
has.
Scope, and these are some of the specific items that were mentioned in that broad scope. But it's always a good idea to step back and take a look at where you're at and make improvements if you can.
Well, and the issue of domicile keeps coming up, and it just came up in the news yesterday. As you know, Dave, the state Republican Party is asking the AG to investigate allegations of voter fraud, charging that a Democratic state senator boarded five people at her home while they worked on campaigns, voted in the state, and then moved quickly out. And this is from the union leader. This came out just yesterday. This domicile, and we're going to follow up on this story later with our reporter roundtable, but the domicile issue probably on the table for this study committee.
The domicile issue is an annual one before the legislature. For most of us, we clearly know where our domicile is. It's in that one house that we own or we rent, and it's where we engage in civic duties. It's where we spend most nights of the year. It's where we send our kids to school. However, there are situations out there where domicile is not clear-cut, and it could be the homeless person that is living under a bridge. It could be a construction worker that has to go to another state for 9 months to do a project. And there are exceptions in the law for people being absent. In terms of the case that broke today, you know, I'm sure that there are facts and circumstances around that are going to have to be reviewed probably by the Attorney General's office. They'll make determination.
Well, it's a story that we'll be following up on as well here at NHPR. I want to thank both of you very much for coming in and talking to me about this today. Paul Gronke, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Laura, and thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
This is NHPR.
And NHPR is your radio station, the one that wakes you up in the morning, makes your commute more interesting, and keeps conversations like the ones you hear on The Exchange alive throughout our state. We can only stay that way with listener support, your support. So this is the time to pick up a few raffle tickets on our summer car raffle. You can make a contribution online. You can buy your tickets online at nhpr.org or call 1-888-805-6477. I'm Virginia Prescott here with Keith Shields.
And our grand prize is a new car donated in part by Grapponi Automotive Group. The second prize is a bicycle and a roof rack from S&W Sports in Concord. And the third prize is a kayak donated by Portsmouth Kayak Eventers. But the reason to call right now is you're running out of time to be the winner of our early bird raffle, $2,000 in gas gift cards donated by Irving Oil. So if you're at home, if you're at work, near a phone, do not procrastinate. Time is running out. NHPR.org or 1-888-805-6477.
$2,000 in gas gift cards from Irving Oil are on the table from now until Saturday. This is time to buy your tickets. $50 for one chance, three chances for $100, four chances for $150. Buy as many as you want. And consider this, if you do not win the gas gift cards, your name goes back in the hat for all of our other three prizes, the car, the kayak, and the bike. Call us at 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org. Get your name into two drawings by buying your tickets early.
And make the next 2 minutes the most productive 2 minutes of your day. We don't need a whole lot of information, just 2 minutes to help, get your name, your credit card information, and all that. And you are done. You'll support a New Hampshire Public Radio. Your name is in the hat at nhpr.org or 1-888-805-6477.
$2,000 in Irving Oil gas gift cards are on the table. Our deadline is Saturday at noon. and buy your tickets now before it gets too busy. We know it always gets busier as Saturday moves on in the weekend. Call us at 1-888-805-6477, online at nhpr.org, where you can look at all the terrific prizes that we're giving away during our summer card raffle. But now is the time to get your Irving Oil gas gift cards. And thank you.
The Diane Rehm Show coming up on NHPR, where support comes from you, our members, and from Dr. Rod Burdett and Riverview Dental of Concord, offering a same-day tooth replacement with mini dental implants for stable chewing and enhanced denture retention. Details at 228-1066. And Ellen's Interiors, New London and Cambridge, Massachusetts, hosting a free presentation of the Art of Tibetan Rug Weaving on August 8th at 6:30 p.m. Information at ellensinteriors.com.
These are the stations of New Hampshire Public Radio.
WEVO, Concord, 89.1.
WEVS, Nashua, 88.3.
WEVH, Hanover, 91.3.
WEVN, Keene, 90.7.
WEVC, Gorham, 107.1.
WEVJ, Jackson, 99.5.
WEVF, Colebrook, 90.3.
And WEVQ, Littleton, 91.9.
And online at nhpr.org.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. Airplanes, cars, and trucks have a lot to do with a solid rise in durable goods orders. Financial analyst Hugh Johnson says June's figures are up more than 4% from May.
The big increase was largely attributable to Boeing and to some extent also the automobile industry, which seems to be growing and growing at a fairly rapid rate.